Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, the Tuesday Morning Show host, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, good. A little wet. The slush in the driveway is melting slowly into water.
Oh, it is. It is just raining on all of our new snow.
We hope that it stays cold enough, high enough, that at least there's some decent skiing snow.
I agree 100%. So, Phil, we'll do a little weather, and then we're going to talk about some really interesting developments here at KRFY and learn more about some of our nonprofit communities. But weather first.
Weather first.
Organizations. And today, I think we maybe have already noticed, is going to be a rainy, snowy day. High today of 37 and rain and snow likely. So if you're excited about rain and snow, then this is going to be a great week for you. And I'll just share with you the rest of the week. We're looking at a slight chance of snow in areas of freezing fog tonight, low in the 20s. And then guess what? It's going to cool down a little bit, Phil. That should be helpful.
Well, let's go in the right direction.
Chance of snow, high of 30 on Thursday, a low of 13. That's chilly, but that's going to let us accumulate some snow, I think, because Friday we're looking at heavy snow, high of 29, and then a low of 24. So I think we might get some snow to stick.
Good. Well, it should be fun for those who are going out. It's going to be nice up on the mountain again, I think. It sounds like it's still cold enough up there to snow.
That's right. We are the Outdoors and Recreation Morning Show, and so I'm wondering what you've been doing with all of this kind of drippy, snowy weather.
Well, it's been holiday season, too, so it's the season of potlucks and parties and a lot of indoor activities. Our outdoors down low has been relatively confined to removal of stuff from the driveway. How about you?
Yeah, same here. Waiting for the snowplow to come, shoveling out, et cetera, and trying to stay dry between the snow showers and the rain showers. But that's how it is sometimes.
It is. We've got a chock full show this morning. We've got, as Julie alluded, several guests coming in. We're going to bring them in one at a time. Most of these voices will be familiar to longtime listeners, but we're going to have a little bit of a new take today. These are all new underwriters. So first of all, we're congratulating them on their wise choice to help support public radio and inviting them in to tell us a little bit more about their organization, mission, and why they chose to underwrite.
That's right. And we're going to be starting with Brad Smith from Idaho Conservation League. Morning, Brad.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back in the studio again. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
So, yes, first of all, we're wanting to congratulate you for joining the team of underwriters here at KRFY. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I guess I should congratulate KRFY.
Yes. Yes. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Pats on the back all around. It's a new year. Let's start off in a festive mode. And longtime listeners will be familiar with Idaho Conservation League, but it's always amazing how many new listeners we have. And so for the benefit of everyone out there, just give us a thumbnail sketch of what Idaho Conservation League's all about and what you do.
Sure. So the Idaho Conservation League was founded in 1973 to be the voice for conservation in the Idaho legislature. We've since grown, and we do everything from protecting the air you breathe to the water you drink and the land you love.
That sums it up very, very nicely.
And it's a big job.
And it's such a wide palette of things that ICL might get involved in and has gotten involved in. What are a few highlights from 2019, and what kind of things do you look forward to coming up in 2020?
Well, we've been working on revising our strategic plan, and I know that sounds boring, but it's actually very exciting for those of us who do the work, because that plan talks about what we're going to be doing for the next 3 to 5 years. And our top four priorities are combating climate change, restoring Idaho's salmon and steelhead, protecting our public lands, and cleaning up the Snake River. So that's going to be our focus for the next 3 to 5 years.
So two rather broad-scale agenda items and two that are pretty specific.
Mm-hmm. And when you filter that down to a local set of objectives, have you gotten that far yet in the planning process?
No, it's very high level at this point. Next comes the quarterly and annual work plans. So.
Yeah. All right. Can you tell us just a little bit more about those goals, or are they just so broad that we can't get
sure.
into them?
Sure. And, you know, I do the public lands and fish and wildlife work in the northern part of the state for ICL. We have offices statewide in Boise and Sun Valley and Sandpoint. And so our Sandpoint office does everything from the Canadian border to the Salmon River. And as the guy who works on public lands in the northern part of the state, one of the things I'm really working on right now is the forest plan revision for the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest. So if you've ever been down in the Clearwater Basin of North Central Idaho. It's a really beautiful area. That forest spans about 4 million acres of national forest land. It's a real treasure. And we're working on protecting some proposed wilderness areas and proposed wild and scenic rivers as part of that process.
All right. And how does your staff work on that? How large is the Sandpoint staff?
We have three in Sandpoint, and actually would have to count statewide. We're growing at the moment because we're bringing people on to work on salmon and steelhead recovery. But we're probably around 24 statewide.
And so for a big project like a forest plan revision, there's some support from the Boise, Maine office.
Yeah, so we have a team of, we call it our community engagement team, and they help us do outreach. And that's outreach to the public and to members to get them engaged in the work that we do.
Very important topic, forest vision, revision planning. Obviously covers a lot of territory, but ICL's invested a lot of energy and time and interest in water. And some of those waters are in forest system lands, of course, and some we look out at the vast Lake Pendere, and it's not national forest, it's a public domain partly.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more about ICL's work on water.
Yeah, so we are the only organization in the state of Idaho that follows the water quality permitting process, and so anytime someone wants to discharge water or pollutants into waterways, there's a permitting process that they have to go through, and we review all those permits and try to make sure that we make sure that our water is drinkable, fishable, and swimmable. Mm-hmm. And a big part of our work, as I mentioned when I was talking about our strategic plan, is cleaning up the Snake River, which is not fishable, swimmable, or drinkable right now. There was actually a High Country News story that referred to it as Idaho's sewer. And so there's a big focus on cleaning up the Snake River.
What a great goal. It's a generational goal, I think, yes?
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be a long-term game.
Generational and aspirational and a great endeavor, but a lot of work.
Yes.
And so, you know, reflecting on the Snake River, there's a clear goal and target there. And how would you rate the condition of our local waterways and what their needs are?
You know, North Idaho, we're mostly fairly privileged to have, you know, lots of water and lots of clean water. Although Lake Coeur d'Alene is a concern, centuries of mining pollution have been washed down the Coeur d'Alene River into Lake Coeur d'Alene. And with the nutrient loading in the lake, there's concern that the nutrient levels that are rising in Lake Coeur d'Alene will mobilize those heavy metals that are in the bottom of the lake, and those metals would then be end up in the water column.
Mm-hmm. And I know over the last few years, a lot of attention has been focused, of course, on water quality. That's always an evident issue. But then water quantity has come up as a topic that ICL's worked on. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we started a water quantity program. And the goal of that is to keep enough water in the streams to support fish and other aquatic organisms and just the things that people enjoy doing around waterways, mm-hmm. you know, fishing, swimming, and those sorts of recreational activities.
And it sounds like it might dovetail into some of the climate change or climate science work.
Yeah, and that's super complicated, so I won't dive too deeply and beyond my expertise.
We only have about 12 minutes for each interview this morning, right. So very high level.
Yeah, but and most of the water quantity work is focused down south where water is more scarce than it right. is here.
We have an abundance, but it's nice to keep it that way,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Well, we've heard a little bit about what ICL has planned, and it sounds exciting and helpful for the citizens of the state of Idaho. Thank you. And let's just move to our middle and end section of the interview and take a minute and tell us how it is that you chose to become underwriters for KRFY.
Well, we've been guests on the shows numerous times, and so it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
It takes a community, really, to achieve all of these outreach efforts for the organizations that are here in our community. And of course, you know, a robust public radio is one of the ways that we can do that. And we appreciate ICL's support.
And I'll just add, too, you know, so many of our radio stations in this area are either out of Spokane or Coeur d'Alene, and it's nice to have a Sandpoint base station.
Yeah, especially mm-hmm. when you all are local, when you've got your own office here. It's great that you can be heard on community radio.
Local voices. Well, we've been referring to many of our guests. You've probably heard us talk about it before, the morning show bump. I'm sure you're going to go back and see a spike in interest from volunteers right after this show airs.
And speaking of volunteers, what is ICL looking for in volunteers? Are you supported by lots of them?
Yeah, and it varies widely, and it kind of depends on what's going on. But just to give an example, this summer we had a partnership with Idaho Fish and Game and Y2Y, that's the Yellowstone Yukon Initiative, where we did some restoration work at the Boundary Smith Wildlife Management Area up north of Bonner's Ferry. And we helped recruit volunteers to plant trees and shrubs and things like that to restore wildlife habitat. We also sometimes have volunteers get engaged in the work that we're doing. So like on this forest plan revision in the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest, we're looking for volunteers who are interested in that area who would like to get engaged and help protect some of those special places and special rivers on the Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest.
Sounds like interesting volunteer work. If they wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They can go to our website at idahoconservation.org or call 208-265-9565.
And operators are standing by.
I'm sure they are. Well, it's a short interview today. Would like to have you back for a longer one, and I'm sure that we will. But for now, we're going to thank you, Brad.
Thanks for having me again.
Thank you, Brad. And as topics come up, please feel free to get in touch. Let us know. And we often have short segments like we do today. If you are just listening right now and you've missed part of this,
And that was Joe Walsh with Rocky Mountain Way. And Phil, this is the KRFY Morning Show, but guess what? I've got a new New Year's resolution.
And what is that?
It's to get the songs right when I'm announcing them. We're only on year four, I think.
So hopefully that's a new New Year's resolution in the last few minutes, not before, because you broke it already.
True. No, I simply resolved a moment ago, but January, I think I can do it.
January 7th resolution.
There we go.
Well, welcome back. And I believe Neil Young will be coming up. So stay tuned. First, though, we're going to talk with the next of our new underwriters. Again, a familiar voice to those who have regular listeners of the morning show each day of the week. Gene Girth from the Rock Creek Alliance is on. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Good morning, Phil and Julie.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Yes, yeah. Gene. So good to have you here.
Yeah.
So, Gene, you're here for a couple of reasons. One is that you're a newly signed underwriter for KRFY. Thank you so much for joining our community radio.
Yes, and I'm here as a representative of Rock Creek Alliance that I've been involved with for many, many years. The executive director is Mary Costello, and she couldn't be here today, but we fill in for each other.
That's
There's
right.
There's a lot of active volunteers, and one of the themes running through all of our interviews this morning and often many Tuesdays is the volunteers that it takes really to do the work of so many nonprofit organizations.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, it's huge. It would not happen without dedicated volunteers and the community. Mm-hmm. And I'm skipping to that last question that you said. Why did we choose to support KRFY? And I think that's part of it because we're both very much community driven.
And we'll come back and explore both of those questions, the underwriting and the volunteer, a little bit more in depth. But let's do start for those who might be first-time listeners or for some reason just haven't engaged. Tell us a little bit about the Rock Creek Alliance and what you do with the organization.
The Rock Creek Alliance was formed 20 years ago as a continuation of a response to a plan from mining companies to put in a copper silver mine 15 miles up the Clark Fork River. So the proposed mine is in Montana, but Idaho gets all of the outflow from that. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit about it. They would have 100 million tons of waste rock, which is called tailings, that would be dumped into an unlined pile that sits a quarter of a mile from the Clark Fork River. And that's one of the problems. The other problem is that any mine that of this type generates what they call acid drainage, because when you start digging up dirt, it's not that you're just taking out the copper and silver that you're looking for, the ore. It exposes so much there's other minerals, you know, arsenic, things that we don't want to have in our water get exposed. And then through some kind of chemical reaction, it also acidifies the water quite a bit. And so all of these are impacts of a mine that have to be treated pretty much forever. Mm-hmm. And even after the mine is closed, there's going to be water problems.
Mm-hmm. And so where this mine is proposed, so where in the process is that proposal? And the, evaluate, if you can, at least give us an overview of what that threat looks like then.
It's getting more imminent. I mean, really, I've lived in Sandpoint for 30 plus years, and it was the first issue I started working on when I came here. There were other organizations working on it, and but then the Rock Creek Alliance kind of coalesced around it. But right now, it's lawsuit land. They have a plan. There's been two environmental assessments, I believe, that at one point they actually issued a ROD. It's a record of decision from the Forest Service that was going to permit it. But there's been lawsuit after lawsuit since then. But it is at the point where it's the lawsuits that are standing between pristine cabinet wilderness and having that mine go in. The current lawsuits are, one is the Hecla bought the mine recently. And the CEO of Hecla is Phillips Baker, and he used to be the involved with the Pegasus gold mine in Montana, which went bankrupt and left the public holding all of the cleanup responsibilities. So that one is in, that one's still going to go to a Montana court. There's a Montana suit that would, that is going to be going to the Supreme Court about the violations of Montana's Water Quality Act. And then there's another suit that's in federal court about the lead agency, Forest Service and Wildlife Service, violating the Endangered Species Act. So there's a lot of balls to juggle and keep track of.
And Hecla's a very big company.
Hecla is a big company. It has a fairly good reputation in Idaho, but the mines that Hecla has been involved with include the Lucky Friday mine, which is the single largest contributor of heavy metals to the South Fork of the Coeur d'Alene River. It was fined $600,000 and $215,000 for water quality violations. It's also built the Grouse Creek mine in central Idaho in 1994, which they said was their modern state of the art for mining with no significant water quality problems predicted. But before they even started, they had violated hundreds of water quality standards. And in 2000, cleanup was ordered for a Superfund site. So I, you know, people would like to believe that we keep getting better and technology takes care of these things. But mining is a very, very disruptive process. And it's not, we do need copper and silver. And I recognize that. We can't say, we can't turn our backs and say we don't need this stuff. We do. But as with a lot of other things in this world, we need to be paying for the true cost of it. And the way the system is set up, the mining company is not paying the true cost of what it is to extract those minerals.
Through mechanisms mm-hmm. such as bankruptcy or just not setting aside enough escrow money, et cetera.
Correct. And it's not, they're following the rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right. not, it's not that they're, they, you don't, they don't have to cheat in a lot of ways. They, it's just that the rules, they require a certain bond for the discharge that is probable, that is known to happen, but they don't, it's not enough. It's not nearly mm-hmm. enough. And when you're talking about hundreds of years of discharge, it's very difficult.
So is that one of the things that the Rock Creek Alliance is focusing on, changing the laws that require higher permitting or bonds?
Yes. Well, once in a while, there'll be something come up about, what is it, the 1872 mining law, which is mm-hmm. what all of this is based on, that gives is pretty much a giveaway mm-hmm. to people who want to go mm-hmm. mine. You know, and you know how difficult it is to change things at the sure. national level. So there's talk of bigger things like that, but we really have to keep our nose to the grindstone on keeping these lawsuits mm-hmm. going.
So looking ahead, 2020, what's on the immediate horizon line in terms of the objectives that Rock Creek Alliance will be working on?
Well, keeping the lawsuits going. There's these three suits are really important. And we work with a lot of other, it's not just the Rock Creek Alliance. Mm-hmm. There's Montana organizations that are involved and some really dedicated attorneys, really mm-hmm. dedicated. We're keeping our eyes open because Hecla has been saying, oh, well, we don't even need to have all of this resolved before we start phase one of the mine. Phase one is the exploration at it, which is essentially a small mine. So that's going to be coming up, we believe. And for us, it's a continual public awareness, public education, getting people involved. I know a lot of people aren't aware of this because we don't make flashy headlines a lot, but we need community support. So you can join the Rock Creek Alliance at rockcreekalliance.org on the website. You can find that same website information on our Facebook page. And just, you know, take a look, and whatever you can contribute is really helpful. And then we'll have an annual party in August, September, which have typically been a lot of fun. And you can get to meet some of the people who are on the ground doing this.
And Jean, what sort of volunteerism, in addition to just joining the website, might you be looking for? Are there demonstrations? Are there
It comes up. I mean, sometimes as soon as there's a public meeting, then we organize to get a lot of people to the public meetings. There's oftentimes opportunities for writing letters, and that's really important. And it's not a lot of fun. You know, it's not flashy, but it's there. We've got a couple of people who are volunteering to do a video.
Right.
That should be coming up, I think, this year. Pictures are always welcome. And hiking, usually in the summer, there'll be some organized hikes up Rock Creek so you can see what's at stake there. I really would recommend to people to visit these places when you can, because it's just, when you look at it, it's like, what? Are you kidding? Because the mine is proposed to be a tunnel under the Cabinet Wilderness area, one of the first wilderness areas that were designated, and potentially draining and impacting the lakes in the wilderness area.
So important to get out and see the landscape and know what's being impacted. And I wish we had more time today. And undoubtedly, throughout the course of the year, things will be coming up, and we can have you back on to talk more in depth about any specific objective points or events or opportunities to weigh in. For today, let's shift briefly to and close with a little bit more about why Rock Creek Alliance chose to become an underwriter, and then maybe finish with some how to sign up as a volunteer.
Yeah. Well, I would say part of it's because I'm a volunteer at KRFY, too.
Yes, thank you.
And a great one. Yes. We thank you.
And so I was like, okay, come on, guys. It's time. Yeah. And it's just a really good fit. Yeah. There's quite a few people who are volunteers at KRFY who know about this issue and volunteer their time. But that whole community part, you know, getting out, talking to people, being part of the community where you understand where some of your water comes from and that you're really plugged into the whole structure that makes Sandpoint a wonderful place to live. And this is such a big part of it. And I'm always going back to the issues here, sorry, but I did hear Brad talking a little bit about the water issues here. And Lake Ponderay is in better shape than a lot of other places, but you got to realize it's not that big of a jump to think that we're going to be, we do have nutrient loading in this lake, and that's a problem. There's mercury in the water, and there's limits on the amount of fish that you're supposed to eat. And that's not from mining, it's from the air, I believe, but we need to be vigilant. And so back to your point, Phil, KRFY helps us stay vigilant. It helps us stay informed as a community and work together.
It's all part of that community voice.
Yes. And one last shout out for your organization, and what is the contact information?
The easiest way to join is to go to the website Rock Creek Alliance, all one word, .org, and there's a way to join. There's a way to donate there. If you're a Facebook person, go to our Facebook page and you can find the website link there and go to the website. We also are on Instagram now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me how you join Instagram. I don't know, but
it
we're
can't
on Instagram.
Be her.
For those who it's important, they'll know.
Yeah,
if they and can find right. you on Instagram, find Rock Creek
Is
on
that,
Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's right.
Easy to do all those things, or come out in August and have some fun at the annual party.
And we really are looking for a younger age range. We're in the same boat that a lot of the nonprofits are, where we're older and we need some infusion. Or call me. You know, I'd love to talk to anybody.
Okay, and what's your number?
208-290-1349.
All right. Well, with that, Gene Girth from...
Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for doing this.
And thank you, Rock Creek Alliance, for becoming a new underwriter with KRFY. And truly, folks, this time we really are going to hear Neil Young. We'll be back in a minute. And that was truly Neil Young with Heart of Gold. If you're just joining us, this is KRFY, community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is Julie Calamine.
That was Neil Young.
I know it was. And Phil Huff, my co-host, is here complimenting me
just
on my New Year's...
a minor for a Heart of Gold.
resolution. Well, for those of you just joining us, we're having a great Tuesday morning show in that we're welcoming three new underwriters to the community of KRFY, and we've heard two, and we're on to our third. Phil, introduce them.
We are, and again, we're featuring voices that are sometimes heard on the KRFY airwaves, but we also have a voice, I think, that hasn't been in as often as some before. So we're welcoming to the studio this morning two folks from the Pondre chapter. That's the local chapter of the Idaho Master Naturalists, the new president, Mary Haley. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And the former president and now secretary-treasurer, Clem Yonkers.
Thanks, Phil. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining our team as underwriters. We so appreciate you.
So we have a great New Year's, starting New Year's off right with new underwriters. We want to talk a little bit about what's new for the year coming for the organization. But first, give us a thumbnail sketch of the Pondre chapter of the Idaho Master Naturalists. Fairly new-ish still, so maybe give us a brief history.
You want me to talk again?
You're the history.
Oh, I'm history.
Clem's history.
Well, thank you for both of you for having us on your morning show. I love the morning show. Lots of people do. The Master Naturalists is simply a group that we're probably about 8 years old now, in the range of maybe 35 people. We're not really large, but we're a reasonable size. But we're like-minded people trying to pull together and protect and enhance Idaho's natural resources. And we do that mainly through volunteering for lots of different organizations in the area, the Fish and Game, the Kinicsu Land Trust, the Pondre Bay Trail people, Friends of Scotchman Peaks. We have lots of our members volunteer to build trails or to help stuff envelopes, or for fishing game, we do lots of things, plant monitoring, etc. We also developed that cadre of people through classes, and Mary will probably talk about our classes that we've had in the past and we'll have this year in 2020. We have 40 hours of classes that covering a lot of the natural resources and areas of Idaho, geology, mammals, plants, etc.
Yes, and a term that I hear that comes up with the Master Naturalists is citizen scientists. True?
Excellent. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I'm an old guy. I've been retired now for 10 years, and I forget things. So I'm glad you brought that up, Julie. Yeah, we do a lot of citizen science projects. We have educational outreach through the Wildlife Discovery Center there on Lakeshore, and if as a listener you haven't been there, please go and check it out. It is an exciting opportunity to learn more about Idaho natural resources and the wetlands in the area. Also, just walk around and enjoy the grounds, the pond, look at the fish. And we, along with this outreach to the public, we also have citizen science opportunities where I've been involved with getting kokanee eggs through Fish and Game and other areas.
So there's an element, the chapter members are learning, they're teaching, they're also active in doing something, giving back for the local community that's preserving habitat.
I think one of the things that sets us apart is the education. Most people are familiar with master gardeners.
Right.
They're the masters of order. We are the masters of disorder.
Ah.
So you know, the masters of understanding the natural processes and the scientific methods. So we have 40 hours of education, mm-hmm. just like the master gardeners, only our education covers birds, ornithology, mm-hmm. Geology, as Clem mentioned. We had a lot on plants. We do a lot of field trips out, geologic field trips. Last year, we even had the opportunity to go with the Ice Age Flood Institute and went out into the Clark Fork Delta. So plant walks. We had a medicinal plant person. Of course, fish and mammals.
Such a wide array of topics that can be explored. If we can do this somewhat briefly, what interested each of you in becoming involved? Mary, we'll start with you.
Well, we were living down in southeastern Idaho, and we had a lot of friends who, that's a very large chapter. And I grew up in North Idaho, so it really interested me. I didn't know about sage grouse and mule deer and all these, you know, rattlesnakes. All these different critters that I had never grown up with. So that really piqued my interest to learn that, you know, form of nature and get involved with that. So that's what brought me in. And then when we basically got to move back home to my home, then it's a complete joy now to do it.
And Mary, it sounds like there are a whole list of general courses where people begin to learn about all of these topics. And if they're really wanting to delve into one, is there opportunity?
There is. We will be starting our classes up again in probably the middle of March. And so to become a master naturalist, you do 40 hours of volunteer work and 40 hours of education. But then we also offer some of these classes to the public. They are listed in the library. We try to advertise them. You know, go out and actually see the kokanee spawn in the fall. Last year, we had a medicinal plant expert come and do a walk, you know, and show the medicinal plants. So we oftentimes have about 3 or 4 open to the public. But if you're really interested, you know, it isn't very expensive to take all 40 hours of classes with us.
And is there a schedule somewhere you can find?
We don't have the schedule yet. It will start the middle of March. We will give the schedule to you guys.
Great.
And you can advertise it.
We'll have you back on sometime just before early March.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be perfect. We usually do put stuff on Sandpoint mm-hmm. Online. That
yes.
seems like a lot of organizations do. And we also try to keep people in the area up to date with what's going on.
Yes, that's a great resource source.
So, Clem, the same question for you. What inspired you to become involved?
Well, we spent our work life, my wife and I, down in southeastern Washington in the desert area. And we purchased property up here. And when we came up here, it was quite different from the desert. And we didn't know a lot about what was going on in terms of the plants and the trees, etc. And this was an opportunity for us to learn more about that and to get involved, too. I was a scientist down there, so citizen science projects really interested me. Can't do a lot like I used to be able to, you know, maybe hiking out and doing wolverines like Francis Gotcher Peake did. But those are great projects, and I like to hear about them and try to stay involved with things like that as much as I can.
And there's something for everybody. You don't have to be chasing wolverines. Sometimes it's the little tiny pin slug or snail underneath.
I'm really good with mushrooms because they can't run away from me.
Well, it leads me to the question, do either of you focus on one area of science? Is there an area you like best?
Well, you know, for me, Lori and I have really been getting into mushrooms. We're not experts yet, but we're starting to being able to identify the 5 or 6 or 7 locally available ones. We can do those pretty well.
Neat.
And so I think we're focusing a lot on that right now.
I really like fish, and recently there's been a lot of opportunity with the Xerces Society for a project called Bees to Bears. There's been a lot of concern that with global warming that the bumblebees are not moving north. And bumblebees are absolutely crucial for their unique pollinator. And so the Xerces Society is doing a 3-year study all the way up to British Columbia and through this area where you actually go catch little bumblebees, put them a little bit, doesn't kill them, put them a little bit on ice and look at them closely and identify them. And that's a hoot.
You don't put a tiny ear tag on them, do you?
No, no, no. We just take pictures and then they fly away, you know, like, oh, what was that?
There's so much more we could talk about.
And briefly, we'll ask you, you've mentioned one thing happening, which is the coursework, but are there any other events that you want to be sure we know about for 2020?
Oh, we will have lots of events, but we don't have them scheduled yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have you back.
And I think always the Wildlife Discovery Center in the summertime, we are open 4 or 5 days a week. We have master naturalist on duty. That's a really free and fun education for the kids.
Well, we'll have plenty of opportunities this year to talk more about programs as they develop. And before we close out, tell us a little bit about why the master naturalist chose to become one of our newest underwriters.
Well, I think that we really appreciate the community-orientedness of this radio station. Mm-hmm. You guys really care for our community, and you bring the information in a positive way. You bring us together, and that's what the Master Naturalists want to do. We want to bring the science and the education so that we can all have a beautiful lake and a beautiful river. We can all have the opportunity to fish and to hunt and not be this little tribe. And that's really what you guys are. So it was a very natural step for us.
We sure do. We try to offer voice to the entire community and share. So thank you.
That's what community is all about, coming together, everyone celebrating and doing things and doing them in unison. And I'm a firm believer that community radio contributes to that, but community radio really depends too on an engaged community. So we thank you for stepping up and engaging both as a underwriter and as a guest today and hopefully in the future. And before we close out, tell folks one more time about how they can follow your activities and become a volunteer and become a master naturalist themselves.
Well, probably the easiest way would be to have your listeners go to the Fish and Game website and just search for the Pendere chapter of the Master Naturalists, because we're there. We have minutes from our meetings. We have articles that come out once a month or once every other month about what we're doing. And it's a great way to see what's going on. I forgot our email address. We do have an
email. It's imn.sandpoint, Idaho Master Naturalist, imn.sandpoint@gmail.com.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Well,
there.
That's why I looked at you.
I was
you.
Just trying to say, probably the easiest way is to contact us. Mary or myself or other people are always following our email message trail. And so that's an easy way to say, hey, you know, I might be interested. And you could come out to one of our board meetings and get bored with the rest of us, but meet some of us and see what's happening and what's going on.
So we've got email, we've got Google, which knows everything, and we'll have you back on in late February or March.
Yes, and nice opportunities for folks, whether they take on all the courses or just visit you for an event or two. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yeah, and I can't add more to what Mary said other than if you haven't been out to the Wildlife Discovery Center, please come out and visit us in the summer.
Maybe a great way to get started, visit you there. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both, and once again, thank you and the Master Naturalists for becoming our newest underwriters here at KRFY.
Yes, thank you, Mary. Thank you, Clem.
Thank you.
All right, well, we're going to take another short song break.
Who do we have now?
Oh, it's a test, I can tell.